Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Happy Sabbath. As I was preparing for the sermon for today, or the message, I had so many ideas in my mind. I thought about so many things. I prayed about so many things. And I tried my best to move away from fear not. Because my family will tell you, I'm the last person to be talking about that. But each time I thought about something else, I came back to fear not. I tried so many other things. I looked at so many other subjects, and I researched many other subjects, but I came back to fear not. I finally concluded, the Lord must have a message for me. Not only for his children in the church, but a message for me. And as I was looking around, trying to find information I'm supposed to use, praying to God to help me find the exact words he wanted me to use today, I started listening to music. As you will notice today, a lot of the verses are from Psalm. I think that many times when I sit around and think about the people who wrote the book of Psalm, including David, they relate so much to me and my family. Because many times when we found ourselves in trouble, when we didn't know what was going on, we sang a lot. We talked a lot with God. We cried out to God. Let us pray. Dear God, it's me, Hope, standing in the need of prayer. It is a privilege, Lord, to be standing here before your people, to be used as a vessel. Lord, may they see you, may they hear you, and not me. May you send down the Holy Spirit to be with us now as we reflect upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought this I should talk about fear, because that's something that has really been bothering me, especially this winter. First of all, I wanted us to look at the definition of fear. The definition of fear is being afraid of something, or to expect or worry about something, to be afraid of, to be apprehensive about something. And many times I always tease my husband when he's working out at home or doing things. I laugh at him. I said, you have the fear of the impending doom. Fear of getting old, right? So, Webster's dictionary defines fear as an unpleasant, sometimes strong emotion caused by an anticipation or awareness of danger. An anticipation, not the actual act. Fear of something you anticipate will happen. Okay? Fear is an unpleasant emotion. It has actually physiological effects on our bodies. The most common physical reactions to fear are rapid heart rate, increased blood pressure, tightening of the muscles, sharpened or redirected senses, increased sweating. Those are not good things for you, especially when you think about increasing your blood pressure. If they go on, if they are prolonged for a long period of time, they have a major impact on our bodies that could be detrimental. Fear in itself is not sin, but it can lead to sin. Fear started back in the Garden of Eden. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They were okay. They walked with God every day. They talked with him. But once they disobeyed him, all of a sudden, they became afraid. They ran off, tried to hide. I mean, I find that amusing. How can you hide from God? Really, how can you? But they were trying because fear had created that sense in them that they needed to run and hide. So fear was born right there when they sinned against God. So as we go along in this subject, in this message, you need to remember that God did not create fear. It came upon as Satan lied to Eve, and then she shared that with Adam. And then think about it. Let's just ponder on that for a second. Eve tells Adam, and then look at the reaction. Think about what fear is doing to them. God is asking, where are you? Why are you hiding? The blame game begins right there. That's what fear does to people. No, it wasn't me. It was Eve. She gave me to eat. That's what fear does to people. You see, this past winter has been very hard on me. Not only has it been cold, but I am terrified of driving when the snow is on the ground, and especially when there's ice. I've lived in Michigan the last 17 years. I should know better, some of you would say. I was okay until in 2007 I fell, slipped on ice, and tore my ligament in my right knee. It took 6 months and 2 surgeries in order for me to walk again. Yet again, last winter, Matthew and I were driving out of the Walmart parking lot. As we were trying to join the Joman Boulevard, I wasn't paying attention to what was happening on my left side. I was trying to look on the right side to see if there was a vehicle coming. And the storm had just begun that afternoon. And all of a sudden, Matthew starts screaming, "Mommy!" And I thought to myself, "Now, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to look. This is..." And then I looked to my left side. There was a vehicle that was a hair away from my driver's door. The person had failed to turn and gone straight into my vehicle. But God was good. He protected us. The vehicle never hit us. And the person was able to pull back and turn and go into the Walmart parking lot. But that moment left Matthew and I so traumatized. Every little bit of snow outside sends a message to us, do not go outside. You're not driving today. Sorry, I'm not going out. My boys have had enough of it. You know, Junior was driving down this morning from East Lansing. I said to him last night, you better come tonight. Don't even think about driving tomorrow morning. God has a message for me. I need to confront this fear. And I hope that as we go along, you walk with me and see why we need to confront the fear. We need to trust that God, Christ, will take care of us at every moment. There are all kinds of fears, you know, fear of getting old, fear of being laid off, fear of being rejected, all kinds of fear. But I thought I should speak to the young people this morning and those who are young at heart, the ones who have fear of missing out. In other words, FOMO. You are constantly on your gadgets, on your Facebook, on your Twitter, doing Snapchat, WhatsApp. I mean, the list goes on. You are afraid of being left out. Oh, I won't know if I wait, if I don't check my Facebook today, I won't know what's happening. It's a constant fear you have of missing out. My question to you, or my challenge to you is, just how many people have you led to Christ through your Facebook? How many people have come to Christ because they follow you on Twitter? You need to be asking yourselves those questions. Because, you know, the devil is smart. He is always devising plans to distract us, to take away from studying the Word and staying close to Christ and actually talking to people. I'll tell you something that happened this past Christmas. I called my sister, and she says, you know, your nieces are here. You know, they're on break, and you can talk to them. And so one of my nieces came on the phone, and she said, hi, Auntie Hope, how are you doing? And how's life? And then she says, then I said to her, how come you never text me? And she says, oh, texting is an odd thing. I said, what do you mean texting is an odd thing? And then she started asking me, what are you on, Auntie Hope? Are you on WhatsApp? iMessage? I mean, what are you on? And I'm thinking to myself, do I have the time for such things? I said to her, no, I'm not on any of those things. I felt to a certain extent like drug dealers. Like, I'm on meth. What are you on? Seriously, this is a drug. And the young people don't get it. It is addictive. We need to always be careful and remember, how much time am I spending on this? And how much time am I spending with Christ? Second Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. These words have given me so much courage. You know, I listen to Strong Tower Radio. And one day I was driving, and I like to listen to Doug Batchelor's answering questions in the afternoon. So I was going to pick Matthew, and as I was driving, it was snowing, and I was getting a little anxious. And then somebody asked him about fear. And I wasn't even paying too much attention to it until he talked about this scripture, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. It spoke volume to me. I thought to myself, he's right. Why am I always scared? This is just snow. I can drive through this snow. And if I pray and ask God to protect me, he will. You see, the problem with fear is it brings about with it doubt. We stop to trust God. We stop to trust even ourselves. We are so afraid, we are afraid of ourselves. We don't trust ourselves that I can drive this vehicle and I can get to where I need to go. Because fear is constantly putting doubt. Oh no, you won't make it. You will not make it today. Oh, look at that one, he's getting off the road. That's going to happen to you in a couple of minutes too. You know, in the Ministry of Healing, page 118. Wonder why I chose that one, Ministry of Healing. Sister White warns us against doubting God. She says, and I quote, when we seem to doubt God's love and distrust his promises, we dishonor him and grieve his Holy Spirit. She admonishes us against even the mere thought of doubt, the expression of discouragement, because she says to do so is to give Satan room in your heart. She encourages us to dwell on those things that will increase faith in God and bring glory to his name. You see, stress comes from all kinds of things that can lead to anxiety and fear and worry. It comes from demands and experiences and pressures of each day. Long lines at the grocery store. Rush hour traffic. A phone ringing nonstop. For those of you with young babies, non-stop crying from a colicky child can be very stressful. When worries and anxiety become excessive, the stress level increases. And in turn, it turns on the stress response system. The first response to stress or worry or whatever is causing that challenge is the perception of it. That's your first reaction. You think about it. Can I handle it? Or I can't handle it. Is this big? Is this small? Can I ignore it? Should I deal with it? The second response is an automatic physiological response. It's either you fight or you run. There was a time, long time ago, when the second response helped our ancestors. But today, they are in the form of a demanding coworker. Can you run away from a demanding coworker? Can you run away from a colicky kid? Can you run away from a spouse who is always starting a dispute between the two of you? How do you handle that stress? I wanted to concentrate more on fear and its effects on our minds and on our bodies. Anger is the primary sign of fear. Did you know that? Those who act out their insecurities as anger are the most fearful people. Think about it. There is a huge campaign against bullying in this country now because we know what it can do to kids. And studies have shown that those same bullies are the most fearful people when confronted by someone in authority. Fear makes us become so critical. We criticize everybody around us. We act out and say bad things about any situation. Have you met a person like that? Who is never pleased with anything, no matter what you do? They have a fear of something. They might not share it with you, but they do have a fear of something. They have not figured it out, whether to deal with it or to run away from it. Fear releases the tyrant within. Could it be then that Goliath and Pharaoh were insecure and deeply immersed in fear? I mean, think about it. Goliath terrorized everyone. But look what God did. He brought him down using the least sophisticated weapon and using a young child. I mean, nobody would believe that. If somebody in high school is being bullied, seriously, can you go and call a kindergartner to come and take care of that guy? That's impossible. But this is what God can do. How about Joseph's brothers? Were they insecure? Were they afraid of something? Think about it. Look back. Or think back to what I said a couple minutes ago. Joseph's brothers were afraid of what had not happened yet. They had anticipated that after all, Joseph might rise up and be the most powerful person amongst all of them. So they decided to act upon it, to take care of him right away. They anticipated. He was bragging to them. That's what they thought. They decided to take care of him. Fear at its center is perceived as loss of control. When we are afraid, we grab for a component of life that we can control. Some of us take to excessive cleaning of our homes. We control those around us. You can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do this, you can't do that. We are afraid of something that we need to deal with. Hysteria is not from God, neither is day numbing dread. Fear puts us in prison and slams the door shut. Don't you want to be freed from the fear? Whatever you're afraid of, whatever makes you act out in the way you do that is unpleasing in God's sight, don't you want to get rid of that? I want us to open to the book of Mark, chapter 4, and we'll begin in 35. Mark, chapter 4, and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now you all know this story, right? Christ calms the storm. I want us to pay attention to what fear does not do. You see, they got into this boat and Christ decided, "I'm going to get a pillow and take a nap." Now, is that somebody who is afraid or thinking something is going to happen? No. So, he takes a nap, and the storm comes, and the boat starts to shake, and the seawater rising above them. Sometimes I say to God when I do things that probably he knows as a result of not trusting him, I say to him, "Well, the disciples were with Christ. They saw what he did every day, and yet they doubted him." But I want you to pay attention to what fear does. At the peak of their fear, when they saw the water rising above and felt that they were going to sink and die, the disciples, instead of asking Christ about his capabilities, maybe they could have asked him to say, "We saw you healing people and doing all these things to other people. Do you have any experience in this kind of, you know, calming the storm or anything like this or stopping this? Do you have any?" No. You see what fear does? It makes you lash out. The disciples decide, "All right, we are just going to assassinate his character." They say to God, to Christ, "Do you not care that we perish?" Wow, that's a slap in the face. They could have just said, "We are afraid, please, Master, save us." But they posed a question and said, "Do you not care?" Talking about his character, that's what fear does. When you are afraid, instead of looking at what God has done for you, the blame game kicks in. "Do you not care that I'm having all this pain today and you're asking me to do this? Do you not care that I'm doing this?" And that's not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to trust him. He is saying, "Trust me. I am your God." In Matthew 14:22 and verse 32, Christ had fed 5,000 men, and prior to that, he had done some previous miracles, and yet they were afraid when they saw him walking on water. The same disciples who had seen what he's able to do, they are afraid. But remember what Christ says to them. Do not be afraid. I think that from the Garden of Eden, God has sensed that fear was going to be a huge burden on my people. If some of you have done your own research, you know that the phrase, fear not, is mentioned more than 365 in the Bible. So when you think about it, you have a fear not for each day. Christ declared war on fear for a reason. He knew that fear would terrorize us, will cause doubt in our hearts, and will not be able to live to our full potential. Fear creates a form of amnesia, and this is especially exhibited in Exodus 14:10-13, when Moses and the children of Israel were trying to cross the Red Sea. They looked back and saw who was coming. They looked in front of them, there was the sea. And how were they going to cross that sea? Let's just turn to Exodus 14. Beginning in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. 11, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may save Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to save Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. That's what fear does. Let's just attack the character of this person. You simply do not care. Didn't we tell you? We didn't care whether we were beaten or abused wherever we were. You should have left us alone. Imagine that. Fear brings doubt. They didn't ask him to say, hey, Moses, you have been talking to your God. Can you talk to him right now so he can help us cross? No, that didn't occur to them. The blame game came into their minds. We were better off where we were. At least we had food. We're not going to die over here on sea. Really, we don't have graves where we're coming from. Why did you bring us all the way here? So we could die in this sea? Again, fear brings up spiritual amnesia. We forget what God just did 2 minutes ago when you're confronted with fear. It dulls our memory and makes us forget what Jesus or God has done in our lives. Fear simply corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. We forget. I wanted to share something that happened to me a few months ago. I had a medical scare, had to have a biopsy done, and then I called a very close friend of mine. I call her my prayer warrior. I say to her, would you pray for me? And she said to me, when is the procedure? I said to her, next week on Monday. She goes, okay, that's all right. You serve a living God. He's all over it. You shouldn't worry about anything. And then I was thinking, all right. And so she started praying. 2 days before my procedure, she calls me and says, you know, I've been praying for you the whole day. In fact, I was fasting. So would you mind praying in closing at the end of the day when I get out of work with me? I felt humbled. She took a day out to fast for me. I really felt humbled that day. And at the end of the day, she called me and said, can you find a quiet room so we can pray? So I went upstairs to my room, shut the door, and we prayed. And she says to me, you know, I have such peace over this. I said to myself, yeah, you have peace. You're not the one going through this. But I never said that to her. That's doubt. That's fear saying that to me. You are not the one. How is this going to impact your life? Seriously. That's why you have peace over this. You can say that it's easier said than done. You're not the one who's going to be cut up and all this stuff. And I'm just going on and on and on. And finally, I thought to myself, wow, I am just like the children of Israel. I have forgotten what God has done for me. And here I am, instead of appreciating what my friend is saying, I'm here complaining, trying to assassinate her character. That is not godly. And so she says to me, when you go in for the procedure tomorrow, I'll be praying. I said to her, that's not a big deal. It's waiting for the results that's going to kill me. And she says to me, no. Remember, the Bible says, do not fear that which kills the flesh. You fear that kills the soul. Don't worry about this. God has got your back. And I waited, and I waited. And then they called me. I texted her at work. I said, the results are good. I'm still going to have the procedure, but the results are good. She texted me back and said, I am just sitting here at my desk singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. After work, she texted me and said, can we talk? I just want to hear your voice. I just want to hear what God has done. I think that we need to be leaning more on what God has done and not what we anticipate He will not do. Because that's fear. That's the spirit of fear trying to discourage you. And so I called my friend and we prayed and gave thanks to God. And I told myself since that day, I said, I will look at what God has done in my life. And not what I fear will happen to me tomorrow, the next day, or a year from now. I have to give my life to God. You see, the lack of fear requires total surrender unto God. Because if you don't surrender, definitely you will doubt. You will fear. But if you do surrender and leave everything to God, He is bound to step in as He promised. He will never leave us alone. He will never forsake us. Fear never saved a life. Faith did that. Fear never healed a woman who had the bleeding issue for 12 solid years. Faith did that. Fear never healed a leper. Faith did that. Fear never shut the fierce flesh-eating lions when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Faith did that. Fear did not keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from burning when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Faith did that. Fear never brought down the walls of Jericho. Faith did that. Can you blame Christ for declaring war on fear? Can you blame Him for saying to the disciples, ye men of little faith. Why are you afraid? You see, fear and faith cannot be in the same room. Have you ever seen somebody who's happy and afraid at the same time? Mm-mm. They can't be in the same room. So you can only have one. Either you have fear or you have faith. It's your time to choose, your day to choose. What are you going to live with? What are you afraid of? When are you going to let it go and start exercising your faith? Christ's most common command emerges from the fear not family of commands because it takes our fears seriously. The one statement he made more than any other statement was, "Do not be afraid." I pray that whatever circumstance you're going through today, whatever fear you might have, it might be health related, it might be your kids, might be your spouse, it might be work related, whatever fear you have, leave it at the foot of the cross and ask for faith in exchange. Fear and faith cannot be in the same room. Christ did not promise us a life without trials. He did not. But he promised that he will never leave us. He told us to be of good cheer and to be encouraged. John 16:13. As Christians, it is not the absence of the storms that sets us apart, but it is whom we discover in that storm. Did you hear what I said? As Christians, it is not the absence of storms that sets us apart. It is whom we discover in that storm. And who do we discover in that storm? An unwavering, unstoppable, immovable, unstirred, everlasting Savior, Jesus Christ. That's whom we meet in that storm. God gave us promises. They are all over, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We need to have those at the tip of our tongues whenever we're confronted with fear. Our scripture reading this morning was Psalm 46. And verse 10 is my favorite. When he says, "Be still and know that I am God." I'll share another quick story before I close this afternoon. A few years ago, some of you know, I lost my young sister. And 2 days prior, before I left to go home, I was struggling to find a ticket. I looked online. First of all, my visa had expired, so I sent it to Washington. Didn't come back on time. I started panicking. So then I started looking for a ticket. And I didn't want to have a flight that would make me stop over more than once. I wanted the fastest way of getting home, because each day I talked to my siblings, from the day my sister collapsed to the day I arrived there, it was like, "We don't know. We have no idea if she'll be okay tomorrow. We can't tell you anything." And my siblings are good at hiding information. But when they started saying that, I knew I needed to go home. I started panicking. I went to work that morning and I'm praying, "Lord, please help me. I have to find a ticket." And each time I looked on the South African Airlines, all I could see were these tickets were costing $7,000. I've never paid $7,000 for a ticket to go home. That's ridiculous. I thought to myself, "Lord, how am I supposed to do this?" And I prayed. Finally, I sent an email to my sister. I said, "I don't know if I'll make it. I have tried everything. I can't seem to find a reasonable ticket to come home. And my passport is not here yet. I have a problem with my visa." And my sister responded to me and said, "If God wants you to come, he'll make a way. be still and know that He is God. I started crying as I was sitting at my desk. I'm going, wow, I have very little faith. Look what she's saying. And she's the one who's seeing my sister and everything that's going on. And I prayed and I asked for forgiveness. Believe it or not, that morning I searched for the ticket and I found it. One stop in Johannesburg, the next flight, Lusaka, Zambia. I thank God and I praised Him. Oh, yes, I'm going home. I'm going to see my sister. But even as I was going, I had doubts. I kept begging God, please help me to just get there in time so I can see my sister. It's important for me to speak with her. As I was going, I kept telling myself, so which clothes should I pack? Should I pack a black suit? Should I pack this? And the fear in my mind is trying to help me prepare. Maybe I'll get there and there'll be a funeral. I won't find my sister. I jumped on the plane. As I got off the plane, I was waiting for signs. If I see my sister dressed in a certain way, I'll know my sister passed. And if she's dressed in a certain way, she's smiling, then she's okay. But then I prayed to God. I asked Him, I said, whatever happens when I get there, please be with me. And when I landed, I got close to the building and I saw my sister standing outside with her daughter. I knew they were both smiling. I said, thank God. She picked me up and went to see my sister. I was so grateful that I had the chance to speak with her before she went to sleep. You see, fear had made me start anticipating what might happen. Instead of thanking God that He had opened a way for me to fly home and be there in time. That's what fear does. But since that day, whenever I find myself going through the storms, I remember to not fear. I remember to be still and know that God is in control. I don't want the fear to take a hold of my life. I don't want the snow to take a hold of my life. I need to trust the God who created the heavens and the earth, who is bigger than the snow and the ice, that is always in control. I want to leave you with a couple of verses, His promises. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. When you find yourself in a tricky situation, no, it's not about you. It's about God. He will fight the battles for you. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? We need to get hold of those promises. And when we find ourselves in a tricky situation, in a place where we are afraid, we need to reach out and call out those verses, call out His promises and say, God, You promised. You'll never leave us alone.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.